Good day and welcome, Philadelphia and beyond. WFYL, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue reports Philly Freedom. Also want to thank our digital partners at Red State Talk Radio and, of course, TalkStream Live Worldwide. Wow, there's so much to get to today. I'm just chomping at the bit as a constitutional crusader, truth seeker, liberty lover, freedom fighter, putting America first, New World Order dead last. I almost feel like I am a born-again patriot, a born-again conspiracist, a born-again constitutionalist, because what's happening with the Trump train, with Trumpomania, this Trump movement, and putting America first, that's right, you know, that was thematic, it was emblematic of what my program was back in the early 1990s with America's Town Forum and the America First Forum. It was an unbelievable time, and I almost feel, you know, that one of those deja vu moments. I'm looking at the Drudge Report, and the lead story is Vince Foster lives, as in the story lives on. Trump launches new line of attack. I have to say, Trump is enlisting and revisiting so many of the things that I used to talk about, so many of the things that I brought to the American public's attention. And every day I read the headlines and I realize that Trump is like the shock jock of American politics, but he's not doing it to shock. It's just that whatever comes to his mind and whatever he has learned or studied or researched or been told that he feels is credible, he's going to share it. He doesn't care about the consequences, the repercussions. Name me a Republican candidate, with the exception of Pat Buchanan, in recent years. Matter of fact, you can go back almost as many years, that would have attacked the party of opposition, would have attacked his political adversaries, his competitors, any and all opposition, the way Donald Trump does. Political correctness, it's become political incorrectness because he doesn't care. He has no interest or concern about what is the political decorum. There is no tact. There's only tactics. And I have to say that Donald Trump is really hitting Hillary hard. There's no other candidate that would have brought these issues to the forefront. And he hasn't even gotten to the convention yet. She hasn't even become the presumptive nominee yet. And, yes, she's attacking too. But believe me, the attacks that have been leveled against Bill and Hill, against Sleaze and Hellcat, it's just unbelievable. I remember back in the 90s when conspiracy theorists and with even people that came forward that were, you know, the story makers, the storytellers, or part of the story themselves, that they would be discredited, that the Republicans, the conservatives would back off and go, well, this might not be good for our brand. This might not be good for our imaging. This could backfire politically, even though it's true. But so few. I remember the Clinton Chronicles. You can look that up. You know, I was one of the first and one of the foremost that continued on a daily basis to hit the Clintons where it hurt. But I also hit Papa Bush, King George, and his issuing in the New World Order, or ushering it in with his speech. And so we went after the imperialists. We went after, you know, the elitists. We went after the shadow government, and we will continue to do so. And if you sense a reinvigorated passion, well, you're exactly right, because this is totally how I feel. This is how I want to operate. You know, we should be going after the opposition, the detractors and the attackers of American ideals and of American values and our nationalistic and constitutionalist republic. Yeah, we are. We are a constitutional republic, and we have enemies of the republic. And they're the Bernie Sanders, they're the Hillary Clintons, they're the Bushes. And some people say, well, I kind of like the Bushes. Well, I'm not sure why you liked the Bushes. Now, you might say that Bush Jr., W, came, you know, he came to, I guess, a sobering, and literally and figuratively, a sobering reality, and embraced and endorsed many, conservative social ideals, but not all his policies domestically, and certainly not in foreign policy, would reflect what I would believe is true, legitimate conservatism. But, you might see it a different way. But nevertheless, I think when you compare the Bushes to the Clintons to the Obamas, you might say, well, in some areas there is more of a radicalist, an extremist. If you really study the record, not the rhetoric, you will realize that both parties have pushed us to the brink of total economic ruin. Both parties have pushed us into unwarranted wars. Both parties have really forced us into a debtor nation. Both parties have contributed to the moral decay, although the Democrat Party more so. We have enemies within, and enemies on both sides of the artificial political divide. And Donald Trump is the outsider coming in and saying, I don't care how things were done before. He's turning everything upside down. And I've always felt that it's not about being on the right, but it's actually being right on the right issues. And Donald Trump is right on most of those right issues. And Donald Trump is not worried about political correctness. He's not worried about political decorum. He's not worried about political branding. He's worried about what's in the best interest of the United States of America, the nationalist interest. He is a proud protectionist like I am. And he's going to do what's in the best, I believe, what's really best for America and making America greater, although he likes the motto, making America great again. But I, as a patriot and as someone that is a believer in the ideals of this country, even if the leadership and even if the parties and the platforms and no matter what the face of our political system is, and who the role players are at the time, the game itself is still in place, and that's the Constitution of the United States. And the founders and the framers, their writings live on. That's the way I see it. So more to come. Hold tight, Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom and Tom Donahue Reports. Welcome back. Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom on WFYL Radio, serving the greater Philadelphia area and beyond. And there's so much to cover. And we're in take two, segment two, and glad that you are with us. And a lot of breaking news. And again, I'm not concerned always with the breaking news, but how it impacts this listening audience and your host, who is the topic selector. Now, those of you that want to suggest a topic, and it could be something that's happening in real time, breaking news time, or it could be just something that's more thematic, something that is big picture type stuff, then just write to me at talker57@hotmail.com, talker57@hotmail.com. And there are links on the station, WFYL, that'll take you to my podcast page, that'll take you to the website, and all the information as it relates to reaching out to me, to connecting with me, to networking with me is right there. The website, TomDonahueReports.webstarts.com. Susan, Alan, Russell, and all the good folks there for assisting in that bridge from the station to me here, also in Philadelphia, in the Northeast. So again, we're very appreciative. Now let's just get right to the stories, because they're interlocking stories, interconnected, interrelated, and surely related. Bill Cosby will stand trial in sex assault case. That's right, right here on a Temple employee. There's so many cases. This guy is a sexual predator, and you say, well, he hasn't been convicted yet. Well, many of these women have been deposed in court depositions. Many of them have passed lie detector tests. Many of them chronicled similar, if not almost the same, type of methods of assaults and sexual misconduct. And so Bill Cosby, what happens to these people that they're role models? I mean, they're very visible and they're very high profile. In some ways, I'm befuddled as to, because he decided to get very political and public about cultural issues. And he was a cultural icon. There was no question about that. Well, you know, it didn't matter what race, nationality, your social economic status was. Everybody loved Bill Cosby. I mean, unless you were an extreme hater and racist, a complete and total bigot, you know, you loved Bill Cosby. I mean, he had a great message. They produced great family programming. And then the public life was so much different than the private life. And so many people, there's so many women that felt like he was so powerful, a cultural icon. The number one TV show for many years. I mean, he ruled the 1980s. Not only was he considered a terrific comic, and he also was in other TV series and movies, but The Cosby Show, it was water cooler talk. It was talked about in the schools. It was talked about on talk radio. It was talked about by our politicians in the House of Congress, everywhere. But little did we know, star and someone that was larger than life was going around and sexually assaulting, drugging and assaulting women. And there's dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of women that he did this to. Women at colleges and universities, women at comedy clubs, women that worked for him and worked in the acting community, those that were in the music business, those that were in the news business, those that were waitresses, those that were, it didn't matter. If he wanted you, he was going to figure a way of getting an invite and then saying, oh, you need to relax and let me just fix your drink. Mm-hmm. Then you had Bill Clinton. And I have to say, and humbly, that I was the very first radio talk show host that was contacted. Well, I shouldn't say contacted because I don't know, but I was the first one that absolutely, enthusiastically embraced the possibility and the inevitable outcome, which was an interview with the troopers from Troopergate, that all those rumors were swirling that Bill Clinton was absolutely a womanizer and a sexual predator. And quite frankly, it was a pretty terrific interview. I had two different state troopers on that were the bodyguards. And that's the way it worked in the state of Arkansas when you were the governor, was that the state troopers were the actual security detail for the governor. But that security detail became more than a security detail, because what Bill Clinton had them do was they would run errands. And we're not talking about going to 7-Eleven or to ShopRite or to Dunkin' Donuts, although he may have done that too. What we focused on in the interview was that when he would give a talk, or there was a meeting, or anything in the public purview in terms of governmental functions of the governor and so much of his networking and public exposure, and yeah, it went beyond just public exposure. And it was public exposure. There's double meaning here. That Bill Clinton would say, the woman in the sixth row with the blue dress, can you ask her this? Can you invite her to do that? Can you slip her this note? Can you ask for her phone number? And so many times that these women go, wow, the governor wants to talk to me. Maybe, I don't know what I could share in public policy, but it would be great to meet the governor. And most people knew that the governor was married, and they thought it was something of a governmental, official capacity. But then Bill Clinton would sometimes, you know how many of these hotel rooms are set up where they're meeting rooms, you know, they have a, you know, working table, and Bill Clinton would sometimes be already, well, not fully dressed. Or if he were, he would then all of a sudden, you would hear a zipper. Or there'd be some other way that he was indicating that he'd like to be serviced, or he'd like to show his private parts. So it was an astonishing interview, because they were not only working with Bill, but yeah, Hellish Hill. And this was the first, to my knowledge, interview surfaced or that information surfaced that Hillary Clinton, well, maybe she swung both ways, a double hitter. And back then it was very controversial if someone were bisexual or lesbian. But these troopers, which I felt had a high degree of credibility, they said that part of their role was to transport the governor and the first lady of Arkansas. And during some of those transports, Bill was off doing his thing, and Hillary, well, she was off doing hers. There were these mysterious cabin retreats, and in these wooded areas, in these almost romantic getaways, if you will, there was a woman or women waiting for Hillary. And apparently, she was not really all that ashamed, or all that embarrassed, or all that secretive. So I guess there were some open public displays. And these troopers absolutely felt that Hillary Clinton was having romantic relations, there's that word again, with various women, while Bill was certainly having his way, or attempting to have his way, with a multitude of women that I would cover. We have a Bill Cosby, the two Bills, yeah, very similar in nature. One used drugs and celebrity to seduce, and the other used, well, his southern charm and his political power, which some people find intoxicating, that many of these politicians, well, they don't have movie star looks, okay? And they don't have wonderful personalities, but they do have, and some people are seduced by, certainly fall under the spell of those that command positions that are in high authority or a corporate tycoon or mogul. It could be someone that's acting or in sports or in politics, but people tend to allow for the affluent, the powerful, you know, the people in high profile public positions to have this kind of effect on them, that if they met this person and they were under normal circumstances, normal occupations, it'd be highly unlikely that they would be so interested or influenceable. On that note, we got to take our time out here. We'll come right back. I'm Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue reports. Hold tight.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap. What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of this product.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom, WFYL Radio, serving the greater Philadelphia area. Patriotism in action, putting America first, New World Order dead last, constitutional crusader, freedom fighter, liberty lover, and so glad you can be with us, and truth seeker in all things. Really glad to be able to bring you this kind of information, vital information, information that sometimes is not readily shared, but Donald Trump is helping. I'm telling you, he's like a bulldozer for truth in conspiracy issues and items, and we're deeply appreciative and without all the political correctness. Now, I try to be, in terms of truth-seeking, a revelator as it relates to conspiracy theories and science that has to be rational, has to be factual, and has to be provable. Now, as long as you allow for... You know, as long as you share the fact that these are assertions, you know, these are theories, and maybe you're still in search of ultimately what the true facts may be and how they will bear out, that's okay too. But just to brand everything, identify everything as facts when they're still in the theoretical zone, to me is problematic. It's troubling. Well, the story's everywhere. Everywhere I look, it's Bill Cosby will stand trial in sex assault case. And I really felt that would be the case. And I didn't know that Bill Cosby had a home and resided not too far from where I live, quite frankly. And I didn't know that, you know, until this case came about. But he had strong ties to Temple University and Philadelphia. And so I guess he's got multiple homes, which is not unusual for someone of his wealth and stature. So you have this sexual predator, and I don't think there's any way he's going to wiggle out of this one. And thankfully, they brought this case before the statute of limitations ran, and many others the statute had run, and many others, district attorneys, were actually in fear. When someone is this high profile, it takes someone with brass, well, you know what I'm saying. It takes someone with a tremendous amount of courage of their convictions to do the right thing, even if it means sacrificing their career, even if it means a demotion, even if it means the public scorn, and also those of you admonished from above, because many times when these high-profile cases come along, they'll tell them, don't pursue it. Let it go. And so this is great news. Now, I just don't know if any of these women in the other predator's case, meaning Bill Clinton, if they will ever... I know there have been some payouts, and I know that through the bimbo eruptions, there were some women that, of color, that just disappeared. And so we don't know all the women, and there was Hillary Clinton and her friends took care of what they called the bimbo eruptions back in the 90s. And they did everything they could to squelch and to silence and to quell in general, you know, these particular breaking testimonies and stories. Now, the Jennifer Flowers was a long-term relationship that was certainly, obviously, infidelity. And in this particular instance, it was consensual. And so this was like the steady concubine, if you will. This was the, the someone that he could have his, and I don't like to use this kind of slang, but I guess his booty call, if you will. And then the other women were conquest. But this one, you know, he always knew that he could rely on. This Larry Nichols, he was someone that I interviewed right around the time that this incident occurred. There were break-ins in this building that Jennifer Flowers lived in. And so Larry Nichols ended up starting to film, you know, he put up a security camera. in the event that there was another break-in or there was other issues, that they could catch the perpetrators. Well, what he was catching on his film was Bill Clinton having this extramarital affair and this relationship of infidelity. Larry Nichols started to talk about some of these things to journalists. Bill Clinton got wind of this, and so the orders must have come down that they were to go to Larry Nichols' apartment, confiscate and destroy any footage that was available that proved that he was, you know, almost on a routine basis going to Jennifer Flowers' apartment in the late hours of the night and leaving in the wee hours of the morning. They did. They confiscated the equipment, the tapes, and they beat Larry Nichols within an inch of his life. Larry felt that he thought that he was left for dead, but he survived. And he became a very outspoken critic and cynic. And then I was certainly one of the first to interview him with this information out there to the general public in syndication, because I was a syndicated program on talk radio. And Larry Nichols was a very brave voice and put himself in harm's way, literally and figuratively, to expose the double life of Bill Clinton. You could say, well, that wasn't so bad because as it pertained to Larry Nichols, but the infidelity and, you know, having this extramarital affair, because it seemingly was consensual. But there are so many women, Juanita Broderick, among others, that were talked about the fact that not just exposing one's private parts, but there are women that said that Bill not only groped, but raped. That's right, raped certain women. Yep. But nobody wanted to take on the governor and then later the president of the United States. So you'd have thought that Bill Clinton, through all this, trying all the cover-up and all the skullduggery and chicanery, that he would have stopped. That Hillary would have said, you've got to stop. You're the president of the United States now. But no, it didn't stop there. Matt Drudge and the Drudge Report really surfaced from a little faxed newsletter to this internet, you know, web-based phenomenon and juggernaut, all because of his reporting on the stained dress. That's right, Monica Lewinsky. And then as the internet grew, Drudge's report, this site hasn't changed all that much. Perhaps it became a little more political. Other than that, it looks like something retro 1990s. So these are the things that, and I just feel like I'm back in a time warp. I feel like, you know, Back to the Future, that all these things that I helped, you know, cover and expose and share with the American populace, that I helped put out there for public discourse and public purview, that now is front and center and being totally revisited, and it would not have if Hillary Clinton did not decide to run again for the highest office in the land. If you noticed that the McCains, the Romneys, various other Republicans that ran for the high office, they never brought these things up. These were never, ever brought up as you know, political talking points or opposition research. There were no challenges. There were, you know, it was like morality was to be left off the table, that it was only policy issues and maybe a little bit of personality issues. Well, guess what? Because so many politicians, they don't have a clean slate. They don't have a clear conscience. And they're afraid that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Now, I don't know if you remember, but at one point, it wasn't Bush himself, Bush Sr., the elder Bush, but it was, you know, other writers and researchers in the conservative movement that brought up issues about Bill Clinton. And Papa Bush didn't want to go there. But then, all of a sudden, you had those on the progressive left that said, let's look into George Bush, the elder, and see if he had extramarital affairs. And they did come up with a woman, and we don't know if that was provable or not, but it was a woman, and if it happened, And again, I didn't do enough research, so I don't know, but there was an accusation. It would have been consensual. So Bush Sr., there was no allegations of any kind of criminal behavior. And it wasn't even provable if there was any immoral, extramarital, extracurricular activities. There was never any talk of George Bush, you know, meaning W. There was never any talk of Mitt Romney. So we have had candidates over the years that there really was no, and Reagan, the same thing. Reagan, of course, you know, the only thing you say is he was divorced and remarried, but that's not uncommon in today's society, and it's very rare that someone chooses the right mate, and that's lifelong, and that's a sacred bond that remains till the passing and move into the next world. There might be multiple headlines, and we'll cover those, but I think the theme here is that we have people in high office, people that are high profile, that feel it's just fine to use that power to control, to manipulate others. And so for all this gender talk and all this talk of women's rights and protecting women, you have the Bill Cosbys and the Bill Clintons of this world and the enablers, Hillary Clinton, that say, well, it doesn't, those rules don't apply to us. We're above that. And that we don't respond to these smearing allegations. But then you have Donald Trump that's being attacked because he asked a woman to parade around in a bathing suit. That he has said some off-the-cuff remarks that were either complimentary or maybe they were a little on the demeaning side. Or they were interpreted as such. We have the Cosbys and the Clintons of the world that are sexual assaulters, sexual violators, predators, that use their positions of public prominence and power to control and to violate women. Right back, hold tight. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom.
Like me, you're probably sick of waking up at night, constant interruptions during the day, and even spoiled romance. Well, Americans across the country are using a product called Prostate Revive, and they say it really works. Prostate Revive is an all-natural formula created by renowned medical doctor David Brownstein. Dr. Brownstein's Prostate Revive is the only supplement formulated to target the two main prostate problems. The results have just been amazing. And you can even read online the testimonials of many others who are shocked by the success of Prostate Revive. So don't take my word for it. Just give Prostate Revive a free test drive. That's right. They'll send you a risk-free 30-day trial supply. Just pay a small shipping charge and judge the results like thousands of others. Call today, 800-659-7384. That's 800-659-7384. Or go online to ProstateRevive.com. That's ProstateRevive.com or call 800-659-7384.
Not being able to fall asleep is so frustrating. The tossing, the turning, the adjustment of pillows and blankets. Ugh! Eventually you just decide to get up and start your day really early. It doesn't have to be this way though. Power Sleep is an all-natural non-prescription formula that will help you sleep like a baby. It contains neurotransmitter nutrients that promote the production of serotonin, which is responsible for feelings of well-being. Power Sleep is easy to digest and absorb and is made in a base of active probiotics. Don't miss another night of sleep. Order your Power Sleep at energywave.com or call 800-TURTLE-5. Add PowerVites to your cart while you're browsing. Perfect for Monday mornings. They're a complete multivitamin and mineral formula that will give you the energy you need to get through your day. Nourish your immune system and feel great. Get all the info and place your order at energywave.com. Enter code word SLEEP to get free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well, Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom on WFYL Radio. Also our digital partners, Red State Talk Radio, the Encore Channel, and TalkStream Live Worldwide, and podcasting, and many, many other ways to connect and affiliate yourself in our 24/7 channel that replays our podcast archives. Okay, back as final segment, segment four. So glad you are with us. We are talking about the doping, the groping, the violating that comes from the likes of the ilk of Bill Cosby and Bill Clinton. And believe me, there are other males that are as despicable as well. But these are people in high places. These are powerful luminaries. Bill Cosby being a cultural icon. I mean, he was America's dad. Remember that? Yeah. Or Dr. Huxtable. And then you have Bill Clinton, president of the United States, multi-time governor. His wife has held numerous positions. A two-time running candidate for president of the United States. Remember, they always said that it's a twofer, you know, two for one, and they're co-presidents. And there's even been some, you can say, well, she's just joking. Well, I'm not so sure she's joking when she says that Bill Clinton may be put in charge of the economy. Whether it's official or unofficial, they're going to influence one another. And of course, beware of the interns. Beware of any woman in a skirt, even a pantsuit, for that matter. They're at risk with Bill Clinton running around. This might sound, I mean, I there is an air of sarcasm, and I do tend to lean towards, at least unintentionally, a streak of humor. But this is no laughing matter. It might be a groping matter, but it is not a humorous situation, especially with the victims. And there have been women that have been violated and victimized. These are vicious, violent acts. Both of these are predators. They are serial offenders. And they feel that they have the privilege, that they're above the law, that morality does not apply to them, nor do the legalities. And so these folks, they lure, they prey, and they pounce. Now, whether it's using a doping technique, but they're being lured, they're being seduced, they're being sedated. That's right. So you have serial sedating, so seducing and sedating in order for them to succumb to this powerful cultural icon, America's dad. And here's a guy that was motivating, at least seemingly, inspiring, at least seemingly, and even at times was parenting the younger generations as to how to act like men and like fathers and be responsible for their actions, to grow up, to behave themselves. And he is Mr. Misbehaving, but in the worst possible ways. And we're not talking about just misbehavior. This isn't misdemeanor-like criminality. This is of the highest order. And this isn't just like, well, it's he says, she says. Bill Clinton has been getting away with this for the longest time, too. Isn't it funny they're both Bills? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they can say, well, it's all racial. No. And did you remember when Rush and others in the conservative media immediately said, oh, these are liberal progressive attacks, before saying, I'm going to hold off because I don't know how credible these women are. And Rush has always taken a very demeaning, and in many cases deplorable and despicable way of representing women. And he's always had this issue with women, more so than Trump. And so when I heard this about Bill Cosby originally, I was disappointed. But I never assumed that these women were gold diggers or publicity hounds or false accusers. For a woman, and we're talking about multiple women in a variety of professions and occupations and educations that come forward. I mean, they didn't conspire. And they all were able to come up with similar, if not nearly the same, identical techniques in terms of the seducing and the sedating. And then eventually succumbing because they were more or less in a paralyzed state. That's something I never understood. Even if you were someone that was sex crazed, you know, that someone that not only desired but craved sex to the point that they had a habit, an addict, yeah, sex addict or sex fiend, you would think that they'd want a willing and cooperative person. You would think they would want someone that actually desired them. And we're putting aside love and you know, biblical principles here. We're just talking about just even common sense. But this is how demented, how sick and lurid this is. When you want to take advantage of someone, that you're using force, you're using drugging. How does a man have any, how do you find pleasure? I guess it's all about the control and the dominance and the violence of it. I guess, and I can't relate to it at all. You would think that, and that's the other thing too about men that pay for sex. You know that this woman is going through the motions. That it's not about them being attracted to you. All they care about is the payment. Now, there might be a physical sensation, but other than that, where is the joy in that? Where's the true entertainment in that? Where's the satisfaction or the fulfillment, for that matter? I know these are very sensitive subjects, but these are things that are in the news. And again, I'm not like some of the guys at the Philly Talker, the so-called Big Talker. Yeah, wonderful ratings over there too. You know, I'm not like some of these nationally syndicated guys that are using the S word, the P word, and think it's just okay, and the A word. Now you can figure out what some of those initials would stand for. But they feel that because they're syndicating companies or the stations that they work for, or that maybe they're independent, and they feel like, well, there's no FCC that's involved. But now, I guess the FCC has really loosened up, and I guess station management has really loosened up, and the syndicators, because they say, oh, well, that's common use vernacular. Well, I will not resort to that, and I will not be forced by anyone to say, well, your show would be more hip, it would be more popular if you were to become more hip-hop-like. Or if you were to become more gangster-like, or if you were to become more, you know, HBO-like, you know, you could cuss like Bill Maher. Now, what a wretched piece of a human filth that is. And you notice how many people go on that show. Now, HBO and Bill Maher's program, that's not really viewed by that many people. And the majority of people that are interested in that show, I mean... if I were asked to be on there, would I go on there? Probably not. I would take it under great consideration, because they say, well, maybe you could influence people. Maybe your point of view could help sway people. Because I don't mind going into the enemy's den. That wouldn't bother me. So that would be the only reason I'd go on. And I'd be, oh, let me hobnob with celebrities. Oh, I'm on HBO. I really don't give a dang. Okay? But so many people, that's all they care about. It's all about, what are you getting paid? What's your, you know, is it elevating your celebrity status? You know, you're padding your resume. To me, it's about mission. It's about vision. It's about doing the right things, that's where I'm coming from. But this whole thing about the attacks on Trump, and Trump, okay, so maybe he's a little crass and brash, and maybe he's a little insensitive. Maybe he's a little gruff. But the words he uses and the things that he has done pales in comparison to Hill and Bill and the other Bill. I mean, we're talking about the most extreme personal violations. We're talking about violent and vicious and egregious and immoral and criminal violations. And they cannot be compared with someone that's maybe a little bit of a motor mouth or a big mouth. And you know, another thing I think, being that we're on the topic of women and sexuality and maybe crossing the line and violation of the dignity of a woman, is the fact that I think there's so many people that are jealous of Donald Trump because of his financial successes. But moreover, especially men, and well, women too, look at how beautiful his wife is. Now, she seems like a very nice person too, and bright and interesting, but I don't know. But, you know, I have found that people, they're always wanting what someone else has that if they perceive it to be better. And sadly, women are still looked upon, you know, by men as sometimes trophies. And so I know some of this is coming from just, you know, just unbridled jealousy. That's what it is. They cannot stand the fact that this guy has done so well for himself. And he also is an original. He says what he wants to say. He does what he wants. And he's almost unanswerable to anybody. Now, he'll be answerable to the Constitution. He'll be answerable to the American people, the divided government, you know, the three branches of government, because he'll be in the executive branch. So it's getting more and more interesting. In any case, it's a wrap for today. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Reports, Philly Freedom. Till we meet again, have a great night.